He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 21 years in the trading pits, 21 years on the air, 21 years writing my weekly newsletter, which I begin today. And speaking of today, market off to a soft start, but it has improved since the open. The Dow is now down just 40. It's down over 100 a while ago. It's 34,892. Notice how the Dow is struggling with 35,000. You know, I've said that many times over the years, that a lot of times when a major index comes to a major even number like that, I remember the Dow struggling with 1,000 for forever. That was a long time ago. Now it's almost 35,000. That shows you the power of investing in the market. We're at 34,890 as the Dow continues to bump its head on 35,000 and go ouch and back off. The S&P is down 7 right now to 4,367. It's fighting with 4,400. It's funny how those numbers are just, you know, resistance levels. What can I say? NASDAQ down 6. 14,638. The FANG stocks, though, kind of been carrying the day here recently. The small caps continue to sell off. They gave a sell signal a few weeks ago. Russell 2000 down 11 right now to 2191. Crude oil continues to falter here. It had a bad day yesterday. The oil stocks had a bad day as they finally reached an agreement. United Arab Emirates going along with the rest of them, and they will increase the flow of oil just a little. Crude oil is down a dollar, though, 72.17. Gold's got a little life underneath it, moving up in rank. The 10-year's down to 1.32, and Bitcoin down another 1,000. Ouch. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital, recently merged my firm, Gunderson Capital, which I started in 2006, with a larger firm so that I can continue to expand my voice and my reach and trying to help people across the country, expanding with Southport Capital recently. And very happy so far with everything that's taken place. Well, you know, the Dow is struggling. What can I say? It's struggling with 35,000. But, hey, we're not going to complain. That's at our new all-time highs. We're down 55 right now to 34,878. The oil stocks had a very bad day yesterday as OPEC finally reached an agreement. Is $75 per barrel the top in oil? Well, we'll see. Kathy Woods called the top right there. We'll see if she's right about the oil markets. They did reach a deal yesterday. They had some chaos there for a few weeks with the United Arab Emirates not going along with Saudi Arabia. Those two don't really like each other these days, if you've noticed, haven't noticed. And OPEC reaches an agreement. Oil has stalled here. The oil stocks had a pretty bad day. They're off a little bit today. Jay Powell will be in front of the cameras again today. He always moves the markets, talking about inflation, talking about interest rates, talking about GDP. Yesterday we had the PPI come in hotter than expected. I don't think the market liked that too much. And in fact, one major bank analyst is out. I want to say it's JP Morgan. We'll get to that in a little bit. Saying that they think that the market could be in for a hard, or the economy could be in for a hard landing, meaning a recession, because of the too easy monetary policy and the inflation getting out of control here a little bit. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. We always focus a lot on that macro outlook for the market. You can be the best stock picker in the world, the best mutual fund selector, the best ETF selector. But if you don't have the big M market on your side, it all goes out the window pretty much. The standouts yesterday, I looked at a lot of charts. There's not a lot of big trends right now. There's not a lot of sectors moving. It seems to be like individual stocks. The mega caps have returned to favor. The small caps have fallen out of favor. You know, that back in February and March, we kind of had those large caps sell off, the mega caps sell off. Small caps took charge for a while, but that's all faded. Mega caps back in charge. The big charts yesterday that really stood out to me, Visa, once again, symbol V for victory. Apple really stood out yesterday, another new all-time high, $2.5 trillion, something like that. May you rest in peace, Steve Jobs. Google also, big day yesterday. The FANG stocks seem to be gathering most of the attention. The only move in the market seems to be centering into and focusing around the big FANG stocks and other mega caps. Target also has quietly just been carving out new highs. Target, really, you got to hand it to Target. You know, they go up against Walmart. They're eating Walmart's lunch as far as stock performance. And they're doing about as good as Amazon here recently, carving out new highs. The Pride of Minnesota, the Pride of Minneapolis, which where we'll be headed in late August. The other stock that stood out yesterday was Lululemon, which got an upgrade. It's been one of the few. That Lululemon has a cult following. And I would say the other retailer, the other brand, consumer discretionary stock would be Chipotle. Chipotle continues to sizzle like the carne asada on the grill. Well, we did end up, however, though the Dow was just slightly up yesterday. Bond yields slipped. We're down to 1.32 on the 10-year. And gold is back, or silver, or oil's backed off from $75 per barrel. I have noticed that gold is moving up in rank a little bit. I watch that movement in my proprietary ranking system on a daily basis, but it's not moved into, it has not moved into buy territory. A few days ago, gold, GLD, the commodity, was ranked at 2,049 out of about 5,800. And today it's up to 1,269, but, you know, a move up to 800 points in rank, definitely worth taking notice of. And I am seeing a golden cross on the commodity gold, GLD, with the 50-day crossing above the 200-day. Not with any conviction, but that is something to take note of. Gold loves inflation, that's for sure. In the meantime, the death cross continues to get worse in Bitcoin. Oh, down another 1,000 a day. Will it go under 30,000? If you look at the ETF, actually it's an open-ended grantor trust. That's how they get around that no ETFs on Bitcoin yet. But this is a trust, Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. GBTC, that's an ugly chart, and that is it's breaking support. And number two, that's a death cross. That's a classic death cross of the 50-day crossing over under the 200-day. That is a big, big negative technical indicator there. You know, the market was doing pretty good yesterday until the Powell testimony. Okay, and he's talking about tapering. He says it's still a ways off, but he does expect inflation to remain elevated in the near term. And I think that spooked the markets. The defensive sectors are starting to take over, which brings up the point that I've kind of been noticing that the FANG stocks seem to be a defensive sector now. I guess because they large, they're reliable growth. You know, we're not going to give up our toothpaste. You know, Procter & Gamble was always considered a defensive consumer staple. Well, I would say that the internet and our iPhones and our Google searches and our Netflix movies, right? That seems to be a consumer staple these days. I know a lot of people who would give up a lot of things before they gave up their cable or their internet. And, you know, those stocks, I'm just saying the FANG stocks are acting like a defensive sector. And money seems to run there when the going gets a little bit tough and the news is a little bit bad out there on the economy and on the market. That's my observations. I got a whole lot more observations to talk about today. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market continues to improve here. The Dow's down just 14. The Nasdaq's down just 31. We just went positive for the day here at our firm and the portfolios that I manage. In the meantime, the Delta variant continues to surge around the world. But, you know, if you notice, it doesn't seem to be as serious or deadly, I suppose, as the original coronavirus. I'm not hearing of overcrowded hospitals or morgues, temporary morgues being set up, but it does continue to spread. You just wonder how many times this thing is going to morph. And let's hope it doesn't morph into something worse than even the original coronavirus. Okay, here's that article about J.P. Morgan. This is interesting. This is just one take. J.P. Morgan is out with a note this morning. Might have been yesterday. That Jay Powell and company's new flexible average inflation policy, essentially letting inflation run hot, which it is. You got to go way back to find inflation as hot as it is right now. Risk, this is what J.P. Morgan says, risk a hard landing or recession for the U.S. economy. Well, they don't say it will lead to, they say it risk a hard landing. And we will have another recession at some point in time. We will have another bear market at some point in time. The last one was in 2008 when the S&P went down 53%. And the real big one before that was back in the year 2000, 2001 when the NASDAQ went down 79%. That's why I do believe in a little bit of market timing. The markets follow earnings of the S&P 500 and the economy. But even more importantly, the market is looking ahead 1 to 2 years, more like 2 years, and it follows expectations for the economy and for earnings. And when those expectations start to fall, the market is in trouble. And that's why I don't believe in being heavily invested in the stock market during an oncoming recession. That's like an oncoming freight train. Or an earnings recession with the S&P 500. That's like an oncoming freight train, too. And that's why I'm not your standard asset allocator that says, well, He's 50 years old. He should have 50% of his money in the stock market. Well, that's generally true, but not when a recession is coming around the bend. And generally speaking, there is plenty of clues and plenty of evidence. That's why the market is so hypersensitive to every word that comes out of Jerome Powell's mouth and, you know, and other like these J.P. Morgans of the world and Citigroups of the world, they want to get out of the way before a recession hits. Well, right now there's no sign of a recession out there on the horizon. There are some days, you know, that come along and the market has a really bad day. And it's generally because fear of a recession, either a global recession or a recession here in the U.S., and those fears will go away, and then the market will continue to hit new highs again. But eventually, we will have a recession. We will have a bull or bear market, and, of course, we're all trying to get out of the way and avoid a 53% hit. That's why I'm an active manager and I'm an unconstrained manager. Other managers have to stay fully invested or they have no clue as to what the future expectations are. That's something I really stay on top of on a weekly basis. You'll see it in my newsletter every week. I do not take that lightly. I always am looking in that rearview mirror, having been through two major bear markets and seeing what it does to folks. And that's a big part. That's a centerpiece of my newsletter every week. Yes, the newsletter has a lot of pages in it, but it's my internal research that I go down every little nook and cranny of the market and the economy, the technicals, the earnings expectations. And I sum that all up in that macro outlook of the newsletter. And I think anybody who follows me for the last, over a decade will tell you that Bill Gunderson has been right about the macro outlook for the market since 2008. And he even warned back in 2007 that the lending that was going on in the housing market was not going to end well. And furthermore, at the darkest hours of the coronavirus in March of 2020, I came forward with several startling articles that shocked the Seeking Alpha viewers, made me almost a four-letter word, Bill. They did not like me for stepping up to the plate and saying, this is the time to get in. Well, I was absolutely right, and I got out of the way of the big sell-off for 30-35% in the high growth tech stocks back in February of this year. So you might want to follow me, especially that newsletter that I produce every week. If you want to get two free weeks, follow along with Bill. You can go to GundersonCapital.com. That's GundersonCapital.com. Well, is this good news for the EV sector, electric vehicle? That's been a very poor performing sector, very poor. I mean, the battery technology stocks, the battery makers, the EV makers, other than Tesla, okay? Tesla is kind of, golden plated with Elon Musk constantly tweeting about it. And, of course, a dominant position in the luxury EV market. But it's been a terrible performing sector since February. Will this help? The EV or the EU rolls out a roadmap for cutting carbon emissions by 55% by 2030. That is really aggressive. I mean, that's just 8 years down the road. In the most controversial part of this would be a first-of-its-kind carbon border tariff. In other words, if you want to sell goods to Europe and you're a carbon unfriendly country, we're going to slap a tariff on you. Well, this must be passed by the European Parliament and the EU Council, a process that could take 2 years. So we won't worry about, we won't put that on our worry list yet, but it is out there. In addition to this, the EU proposes to end the internal combustion engine by 2035. That's why you're seeing Ford, GM, Volkswagen, Geely, you name it, all going electric, because that would seemingly be coming to the U.S. at some point in time. Just keep your eye on California and see what they do. They're on that path, like the EU, And they usually lead out in this kind of legislation. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about the best sectors in the market now and the worst sectors in the market now. This is Bill Gunderson. Second half of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, the Dow trying to go positive here now. It's down just 9 points. In the meantime, you know, the macro outlook, which I talk about a lot, okay, because it drives the bus. It is the driver of the bus, okay? It can take you up the mountain, you know, of new highs, towards new highs. And it's all based on earnings estimates, expectations, earnings expectations for that very important index of the S&P 500. Now, I publish this every single week along with the multiples. The multiples are the part that, you know, you have to select. The multiples expand in a low interest rate environment. We're seeing extremely high multiples compared to the past. That's the P.E. ratio of the S&P 500. More importantly, the forward P.E. ratio, which is the current price of the S&P 500, divided by the future expectations, 12-month expectations for earnings of the S&P 500. So that's the macro outlook. But then you take a step down and you get into the sectors of the market. It's really shocking right now how few sectors are doing anything. It's a really, really, really concentrated, focused market in just a few areas. The dominant sector in the market right now, I'm just looking at my sector rankings in the beststocksnowapp.com. This is really, really important. This will really, really help you in your search for alpha. I mean, we're all searching for alpha. You know, I devote 10 hours of my life every single weekday. And a lot of times on Saturdays, doing everything I possibly can to find alpha in the market. And this year it's been very difficult because alpha has been very short-lived. Relative strength has been very short-lived, whether it's in the energy sector, the electric vehicle sector. You know, they'll pop, the solar sector, they'll pop, and then they'll drop. And it's been a very, very frustrating year. But let's just take a look at where it's centered right now. I monitor about 70 different sectors in the market. Well, three of the top 10 are all named information technology. Vanguard has an information technology ETF that I use as a proxy for that. XLK is another one. And there's a third one, IXN, which is global information technology. You can pretty much call that the FANG stocks, the information technology stocks. It's your Facebook, it's your Amazon, it's your Netflix, it's your Google, it's your Microsoft, etc. That is the dominant sector in the market. The second best sector in the market right now is software, and that includes a subsector of that, which would be the cybersecurity stocks. Now, you can look up, for instance, an ETF on that, Cyber, C-I-B-R, and then you can look online at the components of that index. That's one of the top-performing index. The Internet Index, once again, heavily influenced by FANG stocks. The Healthcare Index is actually A-minus right now, as I've watched United Healthcare, some of the other HMOs, Humana, etc., they've been doing pretty well recently. It seems to me like the market is looking for really reliable, big growth right now. It's not willing to speculate right now in possible future earnings, such as the EV sector, the workhorses, you know, of the world, and the all the other Fiskers and that kind of stuff, or the future, you know, of the charging, blink charging and that. The market's just not willing to speculate right now as it was last year. Speculation was the name of the game, buying the cruise ship stocks when they were parked in the harbors across the world, you know, buying the charging stocks on hopes that someday they would be profitable. This is a totally different market this year. The market definitely wants something more tangible, real earnings growth, and reliable. Another sector which kind of backs up what I'm saying here, medical equipment, okay? People might get rid of their cable TV before they get rid of their, you know, their heart stents and their medical devices that keep them alive and whatnot. And the only other one that really kind of joins in here is the lithium, but that thing comes and goes. One other sector, well, the semiconductor sector, still in the top 10. Solar energy remains in the top 10, even though the a lot of those individual stocks have been pretty soft here recently. And one other sector, consumer discretionary, and that's where Target, Dick's Sporting Goods, Ross Stores, Hibbett Sporting Goods, Target, a lot of the consumer discretionary, American Eagle, Abercrombie and Fitch, Gap Stores, they've been doing pretty well here this year, but you got to be pretty selective. So anyways, that's that points up the importance of not only your macro outlook on the market, which drives the bus, and then right behind the bus driver as the co-drivers of the bus, in case something happens to the bus driver, is the sector analysis. Now, one other thing about the app, okay? I'm bragging a little bit here. We can now click on, let's click on the cybersecurity sector. And, well, that would be in the technology sector, actually. I'm going to break these sectors down a little bit more. That's happening in the new version of the app, which we continue to work on. I'll tell you, those IT guys, they don't work fast. That's for sure. But I want to go to the technology sector here and click on it. And it's going to list in order of rank, the top ranked. And the very top, the number one stock in the entire market is a cybersecurity stock, Fortinet, F-T-N-T. And then you got in technology, the number three ranked stock is Alphabet, otherwise known as Google, which is a FANG stock. Then you've got NVIDIA, a mega cap. Then you've got Adobe, a mega cap. And then you got AMD, number 52, a mega cap. Apple, Intuit. You see what I mean? Giant mega cap tech stocks, reliable growth. That seems to be about the only real theme that dominates the market right now. Gold climbs to a four-week high as Powell sticks to script. Well, I did mention that gold is rising in rank, but it hasn't done anything for quite some time. Here's a disturbing article about the cryptocurrencies. Dogecoin founder Jackson Palmer severs ties with the cryptocurrency world. He resurfaces on Twitter to emphatically state that he won't return to cryptocurrency. He contends that despite claims of decentralization, the cryptocurrency industry is controlled by a powerful cartel of wealthy figures. Well, I guess it was supposed to be for the little guy. Cryptocurrency, he says, is like taking the worst parts of today's capitalist system, corruption, fraud, inequality, and using software to technically limit the use of interventions. Well, that's the founder of Dogecoin leaving the cryptocurrency world. Cannabis stocks continue to sell off. Chuck Schumer, you know, introduced a bill to legalize cannabis nationwide. And then he says that we don't have the votes. The bill needs 60 votes. That's in the Senate to pass. There are some Democrats who do not back the bill, as well as many Republicans. And so that one doesn't look like it's going anywhere anytime soon. Let's see. We do have one breakthrough biotech stock. Let me see if that thing's following through. Not really. Kind of. Transmedics, which has a liver system of drugs that it is working with. We've got some earnings. Taiwan Semiconductor beats by a couple of cents, misses on revenues. Taiwan Semiconductor's just done okay, nothing like last year. Okay, when we come back, we'll have our featured stock of the day. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show. Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. We're just going to call the market about even. Well, the S&P's down 18 now. Dow's about even. The NASDAQ has just taken a dive for the worse. It's down 117 right now. I think the inflation fears maybe have got the market worried here. Well, why not feature the number one ranked stock in my BestStocksNowApp.com database today? It's not cheap, okay? You have to pay up. Prime New York steak costs a little more than chicken legs. I use chicken legs to bait my crab traps. I trade in chicken legs for some nice blue crabs. I had some delicious blue crabs last night. They were quite good. But there's a difference in price between mediocrity and prime. I was just looking, you know, this morning, I was kind of focused on sectors this morning of the market. The refiners look horrible. The biotech sector looks horrible. The electric vehicle battery sector looks horrible. The banks look just really mediocre right now. And as I said, you know, tech is about the only game in town right now. It would seem reliable tech would be in parentheses next to that. To get a little bit more specific, as the tech sector is a fairly large sector. But if we click on, you know, the leading sector, cybersecurity has been a pretty reliable sector. It's almost like they have to spend on that, okay? They have to spend on cybersecurity because it's a constant, constant battle. And the number one ranked stock right now in my entire database, and we do own it, is Fortinet. F-T-N-T, headquartered in Sunnyvale, California. That's near the Bay Area there. It's a $42 billion market cap company. Now, you're not buying this for a dividend yield, okay? There is no dividend yield. You're buying this for growth. And over the last 5 years, Fortinet has delivered 48% growth, not in sales, in earnings. You know, another thing about these cybersecurity stocks, they do have pricing power. I mean, the more afraid people and companies become, the more they'll pay. I mean, what are they? They're gonna lower their prices because of inflation, or you know, they just seem to get away with what they want to get away with because there's such a demand for their products. So 48% growth per year over the last 5 years. Now, relative strength is what's really driving the bus here on these cybersecurity stocks. Over the last 12 months, Fortinet, FTNT, is up 90%. And during that same period of time, the S&P is up 35%. That's called alpha. It's called momentum. It's called performance. Fortinet currently gets a momentum grade, which is more tilted towards the short term than the long term, of A. Now let's look at the longer term performance. Over the last 3 years, Fortinet has more than quadrupled the returns of the S&P. It's up 68.7 average per year over the last 3 years, while the market's up 15.9. You can even go over the last 10 years. Fortinet's been around that long, 26.5% per year, with no guarantees going forward, but that's what it's averaged. It's doubled the returns of the market. So it has been a big, big deliverer of alpha, and it comes in with a performance grade of A+. Okay, it's at the top of its class, at or near, as far as a stock that is delivering returns to investors. Now, you got to remember, these stocks, they're expensive. They're not cheap. The PE is 72. It's heavily owned by the institutions, 48%. Well, it just happens to be the number one ranked stock in my Best Stocks Now database, beststocksnow.com, which is invaluable to me as a professional money manager to navigate the waters, which sometimes can be quite treacherous, of the markets on a daily basis. And I do continue to like that entire sector, which there are several ETFs. I know of HACK, H-A-C-K, and I know of Cyber, C-I-B-R, a couple ETFs that track that sector. But it can be volatile now. This is not a cheap value dividend paying sector. It's the opposite end of the spectrum. It's a high growth, go-go momentum type of sector. So we'll make Fortinet, FTNT, our featured stock of the day. And working on the newsletter today, where do you find the top sectors in the market right now, the top asset classes, the top stocks, the top ETFs, the top-ranked mutual funds? I don't know of any other newsletter. I've subscribed to a lot of newsletters beginning like 25 years ago. I remember FundX newsletter. I remember the Prudent Speculator, and, you know, it goes on and on and on and on. The newsletters that I've sampled or subscribed to, Stan Weinstein's Professional Tape Reader. And I guess I've combined them all. I've taken a little bit from all of them because I think everybody has something important to say from those newsletters, but you got to combine it with other factors. Value needs to be combined with momentum. Momentum needs to be combined with value. Charts need to have valuation and performance behind them, etc., etc., etc. So you know what? You try it. You try the newsletter for yourself, GundersonCapital.com. See the work that goes into that thing. And then see the results. It's been right about the market for the last 13, 14 years, the macro call on the market. What am I saying now? Well, there's some yellow flags out there. There's no question about it. Markets don't go up forever. Follow along with Bill, GundersonCapital.com. Now, my main job is a money manager. I manage these portfolios meticulously on a daily basis. I try to watch out for your backside. There's always something creeping up on us, but when times are good, I go, 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 trying to make money. I'm unconstrained. I can go where I need to go, go where I want to go. Give us a call at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.